Hey there, this is Seth Waris from Channel 9, coming to you from Techorama in the beautiful country of Belgium. I'm here with Thijs Fedin. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, dude.
Thanks for being on. So tell us about yourself.
I'm Thijs Fedin. I'm 32 years old. I am from Belgium, so I'm from around here. I know a lot of the people who organized the conference. Uh-huh. I've been to a fair share of them because this used to be Community Day. Now they rebranded it. But the thing is, I don't know that much about Microsoft technology. I have a lot of friends working at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I know the community, but I'm more of an open source kind of guy.
And you know what? That's okay, because it feels like, as a company, Microsoft is moving more towards open source.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about your involvement with open source, and then maybe we'll get into a little bit about what you're talking about here in Belgium.
Well, I work at a web hosting company, so a lot of web hosting still happens on Linux stacks, although we have a fairly big amount of servers running Windows as well. So in that respect, a lot of open source technology is readily available.
Sure, sure.
So, and in that respect, I'm also a bit of a developer. So I'm sitting in right in the center between code and infrastructure.
Right.
And I help developers write better code that functions better at scale on
got
systems.
It.
So that way I got involved with the open source community. I'm more of a PHP kind of guy. And the irony of that is that one of the biggest supporters of PHP in terms of putting money on the table is Microsoft. A lot of the core contributors, the latest release, PHP 7, release manager works at Microsoft in Munich. So
that's awesome.
That sounds ironic, but that's like, you're trying to come across as being, hey, Microsoft is involved in the open source community. We know and we love it.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the talks that you're giving here at Techorama.
Well, I gave one talk today. It was the early slot. 9:45, it's called Elasticsearch in Action. And I emphasize the action part. Elasticsearch is a search engine just like Solr. It's based on the same technology on Lucy. But it's a bit more 2016, if
I
you
see.
Ask me. But it's technology I would primarily learn on Linux. But I see a lot of traction even in Microsoft communities for using this kind of NoSQL technology. So I had more people than I had the first time I spoke here. So that was a good one. And I showed people how do you do full text search, but also how you can use it as a NoSQL database, how it works as an analytics engine, and so on and so on and so on. It was somewhat well received, and it wasn't the first time I delivered it, so it's probably my 10th time I did it.
Uh-huh.
And it was my 150th talk, so I was really excited to be here.
Fantastic. So let's talk about Elasticsearch, because you mentioned Elasticsearch, and under that umbrella, you mentioned that it was a NoSQL database, a search engine,
and an analytics
and also engine.
Well,
so let's
used
talk
in
about
that way. It was originally built as a full-text search engine based on Apache Lucene.
Okay.
Lucene, just like Solr did.
Sure.
But they wanted to make it more scalable because Solr offers all these cloudy features like sharding, replication,
sure, sure.
clustering, so on and so on. But it needed a bit of extra glue to that. Whereas Elasticsearch does all of that out of the box and tries to hide the complexity of your typical Java app. It has a very cool RESTful interface, so the only way you manage it is by doing REST. Nothing more, nothing less, it's all REST. And I showed people how you can use that, how you can do really powerful integrations with language. But the reality is that a lot of people don't use it for search. They're just looking for a really easy and good way to do NoSQL. Then you see you have the MongoDBs of this world and other technologies, CouchDB, but Elasticsearch, if you're already using it for search, you might as well use it as your NoSQL database. And I've seen a lot of use cases where people use it as a sort of abstraction layer on top of their SQL database, just to make sure to have that advantage in terms of speed. Because it doesn't have to do the indexing, it doesn't have to join, there's no such thing. So it's readily available, you just search it, you retrieve the data, and it's right there.
And that's interesting, right? Because when I hear Elasticsearch, I'm thinking like Lucene.
Yeah.
And you're saying that Elasticsearch sort of builds on top of Lucene, or is it just a new implementation of Lucene?
Well, no, it's not a new implementation. It uses your typical Lucene indexes, but it adds lots of bells and whistles on it that you can use. And using it as an actual NoSQL database is one of those use cases.
So that's the next question, right? So it's a search engine, but obviously it has some way of storing the indices.
Yep.
Is it a new database in that regard, or how is it storing things?
Well, it stores it in Lucene, so it has your inverted index,
uh-huh.
like it always is that way, but it stores the source document as well.
Oh, I see.
So it chops it up in bits and pieces and does language analysis on it. So it does filtering, it removes certain tokens. So you might end up with things being in your index that look nothing like the original text you inputted.
Right.
But because the source document is stored as well, you can use it that way too. You can filter it on certain fields.
So because it's actually literally storing documents, it's already sort of optimized for doing document types of stuff.
Indeed, because it uses that inverted index, so everything is indexed by default because it needs search.
That's interesting. So what are the types of documents they're putting in? When you when you say documents, do you mean JSON documents?
Yeah, it's all JSON.
Okay.
It's all JSON. But a lot of people use it for logging these days. I had a lot of questions after my talk of people saying, we want to use the ELK stack, and ELK is an acronym that stands for Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of joint venture of open source projects that teamed up together to build a really, really good product for log analysis. So Logstash can actually capture the logs, can do analysis, can do, like, you use regular expressions and pattern matching
right.
to turn that into something that makes sense, create a separate fields, and then you store it in a certain format in Elasticsearch. Elasticsearch is the engine that powers it, and on top of that, you have a thin layer that's called Kibana. It's just a node-based application that builds really, really dynamic and really powerful graphs.
That's super cool, and so we talked about the search, we talked about the database. Let's move into analysis, because you talked a little about that with Elk. Let's talk, what kind of analysis are we talking
about? Well, analysis, it's like, I call it group by on steroids. You can do your basic sum, average, mean, also geospatial kind of stuff, but you can do it on big data sets, and you can do them nested. It's like doing tree nested group bys.
I see.
You can't really do that in SQL,
yeah.
But that's the way it works. You can work on a data set that has millions or even billions of records and do mean, average, some, you name it.
Is it doing like some kind of MapReduce kind of implement? How does it do it over that?
Well, I don't know how it does it internally, but it does distribute the loads across the several servers because it's called Elasticsearch,
right.
So it hints towards the elasticity.
Sure.
If you have multiple servers in a cluster, it distributes the workload, and there's probably some MapReduce-ish logic behind the scenes.
I see. So moving past Elasticsearch, what are some cool OSS technologies that you work with that you think are just super cool?
Well, I'm a big supporter and a big fan of Varnish.
Oh, I've never heard. Tell us what Varnish is.
Varnish is the leading open source reverse caching proxy. You just put it in front of your websites. Their catchphrase is making websites fly. So you turn something slow, like your typical dynamic page that contacts your database or an external feed, you make that fast. 300 to 3,000 times as fast as it was, because it just stores it in memory. And all I think of the top 10,000 websites, 13% uses Varnish.
That's amazing. I've never heard of Varnish. Where can people go to find out more about Varnish?
Varnish-cache.org.
That's
just
awesome.
Just find it there. And we even have clients that use IIS setups with .NET powered by SQL Server that use Varnish in front, and that managed to save a lot of money stripping out their CDN because they're based locally, so they don't need the geographical presence that a CDN offers, but they do want the raw speed of a reverse caching proxy. So we put Varnish in front of it, and they're happy.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Where can people go to find out more about you?
Well, I have a blog called blog.ferrin.eu. I hope you mentioned it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
If you want to know more about my speaking engagements, I have a site called talks.ferrin.eu, and I'm on Twitter and any other social media. My handle is Dave, and you can find me anywhere.
Awesome. And so for those that want to learn about Elasticsearch or Varnish, you already mentioned Varnish, where can they go to find out about Elasticsearch?
Well, Elasticsearch just has a website, elastic.co. That's it.
Super easy, man. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Thanks so much for watching. And we're here at Techorama 2016. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9, and we'll catch you next time. Take care.